she was worried that Krishna was going to drop the hill, or he was getting hungry and tired, and she kept, you know, he kept saying it's okay. But so he gave pleasure to the older gopis like that too. They were in a motherly mood and they were worried. They thought, well, Krishna, really, the men put their stick up, and then they were thinking, actually, my child is not really holding up the hill, it's actually the men. Then Yashoda Nandana, Yashoda is the mother of Krishna, so Krishna, Nandana means very dear. For any mother, the baby, the child is all her life and pleasure, so what to speak if you have Krishna. So it's a great pleasure, that's one of his names, Yashoda Nandana, because he gives so much pleasure to his mother. And Gopi Jana, Yashoda Nandana, Braja Jana Ranjana, the Braja Jana, Jana means people. So the people of Braja, that's the whole area, Vrindavan, Braj Mandala, especially loved him. Everybody was always thinking of Krishna. He would make them, when he was very young, he was stealing the, you know, butter and milk, different places, and yogurt, and making, you know, different kinds of disturbances for everybody. So they would always be thinking about him. Besides the fact that he was so beautiful and charming, and whenever they saw him, they would forget how naughty he was. They didn't care. And everybody was always, and the gopis were doing their work, they churn butter and they milk cows and they clean and cook, and they were always just singing songs about Krishna that they would be making up, just talking about Krishna's different activities that he did all the time. So it was, and then Jamuna Tiravanachari, and Jamuna is a river in Vrindavan, and it's from the spiritual world, and the boys, they would play on the bank of the Jamuna, because they'd bring the cows there to get water. And then they would play. They would play ball. There's some kind of fruit that has very hard shell. They would use that to play ball. And they would play games, you know, like all boys still do, leapfrog, you know, one over each other. They would play bullfighting. They would chase the birds, chase the frogs and stuff. So on the banks of the Jamuna, they'd be playing. So when we sing that song, we can try to remember these things. And it covers everything, all the different aspects of the spiritual world. So that's where we'd like to go. That's why we worship Krishna. And we have pictures of Krishna all around and all his activities. That's why Krishna came into this world, to reveal especially these Vrindavan pastimes. That up until that time and that particular age, people didn't know about so much. Maybe a few sages, but Krishna revealed it for everyone. The information is there in the Puranas and different places, but not like not available to everyone. The Vedas are very, very vast, and people only get, you know, what they are able to get. But then Krishna decided to be very, very merciful, and he just came to earth with all his entourage and all his feelings from Vrindavan. Maybe there's a lot of people coming in, so if you can just move a little bit more forward, because otherwise someone has to sit right in the door and the next person can't get in. They have to fly over. If somebody has a very long leg, they can just take a leap over, right? So thank you all for coming. And of course, London is a place where there's so many things you can do on Sunday night, or every day, so many things for the tourists to do, so many eating places, and so many theaters, and so many entertainment of all kinds, and I suppose there's sports events, you know, there's so many things. So those who come here, they're very fortunate, actually, here. And then we're very glad to see such people, that Krishna has blessed us to, we can come together, you know, to hear about Krishna, chant the name of Krishna, take Krishna prasadam, and very, very fortunate that Krishna has appeared here in London, and that the devotees are maintaining such a I've been in many temples. This is definitely has to rank. You know, we Prabhupada everywhere say this is the most beautiful deity, but because Krishna is always beautiful, but this temple is exceptional as far as how many people come and how things are going on. So many, all the different activities that we're supposed to be doing are all going on here. The deities is incredible. New clothes every day, it looks like, you know, and so beautiful, and the decorations and the flowers and the books are being distributed, and so much prasadam, such a nice restaurant, and so many nice devotees greeting everybody, and so much chanting in the street every day at the mercy of devotees, and so much prasadam distribution going on from here and from other places, from King's Cross also. London is getting a lot of benediction. You might have heard there was there's one man who had a campaign to stop free food distribution in London, because they say that the homeless people, you know, if they get free food, then they don't care, they'll just stay on the street. And they went on the radio with Parashuram Prabhu, who does the most of for our food distribution, and some previous homeless people were saying how Hare Krishna saved their life, and then he said, well, the Hare Krishna food is okay because they're helping people. They're doing more than just feeding them free food. You know, they're giving drug counseling, they're giving, you know, guidance, they're giving, you know, knowledge of Krishna, they're doing so many things. So even he said, well, they're all right. So, London is blessed with, you know, practically more than any other city. If you look at all the different things that are going on here, this temple particularly, you know, Krishna somehow chose this ideal location, and so many people come every day, mostly very serious, to just do some little service, some little puja. You're very fortunate, so please continue to take advantage of it. We want everybody to get trained up so we can make more and more temples, more and more projects all over the world. People are starving for love, and love really means Krishna. But devotees have to, you know, out of love, they go out, try to catch people, and make temples, and maintain temples, they cook, they serve food, they do everything out of love, you know, ultimately for all the people, all the souls that are suffering. Mother Teresa said that the real hunger in the world is not for food, but it's for love. Some people, if they feel they don't have any love, they won't eat even if food is there. Right? Even a baby. They just won't eat. They have no interest in staying alive. So, Bhagavad Gita is, you know, if we read Bhagavad Gita, we have many and available at very good prices. And if you have them already, they're very good for Krishna's presence, helping people, and they make us understand life. I haven't seen very much, but we were just driving to South London, and there was a new movie that's come out, I guess, called Twilight. Anybody heard of that? So what does it say? It says, if you're never going to die, what do you have to live for? Is that what it says? Something like that. So I don't know, it must be about people that aren't going to die or something, you know, in this body. Then they think, what's the use of, you know, what have you got to... What's going to give you impetus to really work hard or really accomplish anything if you're just going to go on living and living and living? They might not like that idea even, you know, right? Nobody wants to die, but if suddenly they told you, okay, you can just stay as you are, you never have to die, and you can just keep your same job for the next 10,000 years. You know? And your same family and your same, you know, house. And, you know, you might think, well, let me die. Of course, many people nowadays, they're suicide, but not exactly that they want to die, but they don't want to live because they're so miserable. Some of them, nobody can understand why they were so miserable, because they're healthy and seemingly everything's all right, but they're frustrated because they can't see any future, even though they're only thinking of living a few years. But if you're spiritually conscious, and we know Krishna, and we're developing a relationship with Krishna, then that's an eternal, and the real life is eternal. There's no birth, death, or old age and disease. People in atheists say, well, what if God is so nice, why didn't he make the world nice? Why is there war? Why is there famine? Why is there all the different conflicts? And why is there, you know, whatever, the natural disasters and everything? It shouldn't be there, right? But the spiritual world is like that. There is no birth, death, disease, and old age. Everyone loves each other. No one is envious. Everyone is busy serving Krishna. There's no shortage of anything. Everyone's completely happy. But somehow or other, we have this free will and independence, and somehow or other, some living entities think, well, wait a minute, what about me? You know, why can't I be in the middle of everything? Why can't everybody serve me instead of Krishna? So Krishna says, okay, and here we are, trying to be the center. And maybe we find a little group of people, we can be the center sometimes, you know. But usually it's not like that. And when everybody's trying to be the master, then that's where we have all this conflict. Everyone's trying to be the controller. This is what the Bhagavad Gita is telling us. That's why we're here. I mentioned in another class, but I was just in Africa. So when they advertise one of the cell phone companies, it's called Glow, it's like Three or Mobile, T-Mobile or something, you know. But their motto is, rule your world. Because they know that that's what people want to do. So I don't know how you can connect having this particular phone connection will help you rule your world, but it works, you know, because you just see that every time you look up, the picture of a very happy looking person ruling his world. And they advertise so many things like that. You can be the number one, you can be the chief, everyone will envy you even sometimes. If you have these clothes, everyone will be envious of you. If you have this car, then people are envious of you, how are you going to be happy? You know, because that means they hate you. They somehow steal what you have, or kill you, or give you a bad name somehow or other. You know. So, but this is how Maya works. Very, very tricky. You know, dragging us around, and running here and there, and trying to, you know, go in here, go in there, and never getting anywhere. We used to call it the rat race. And when people keep a rat in a cage, they have that little thing that goes around and the rat runs. And now you buy one of those for, you know, a couple thousand pounds and you run in your house, right? A jogging machine. Because it's too dangerous to run around outside. So, living is practically the same way. Working, 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 but where are they going? You know, maybe get a good retirement fund, but you don't know when you get old. Maybe you have a good retirement fund, but you've got, you know, cancer and, you know, so many problems. Can't really enjoy your luxurious retirement. Or you might not live that long. Nobody knows. So better to be spiritually conscious. So all of you have come here because that's what you're seeking. And as much as you want Krishna, as much as you want to become liberated, to become free from birth, death, disease, and old age, and anxiety, and, you know, all these things, you can have it. And just by the endeavor of chanting the holy name, hearing about Krishna, you know, learning how to offer things to Krishna, how to do things for Krishna. You don't have to give up your work or your family or any of those things or your house. You just have to understand that it all belongs to Krishna and learn how to utilize everything in Krishna's service. You'll look the same from the outside as you did before, as other people look, but inside will be much different. So we were just reading Bhagavad Gita in South London, reading, you know, old chapters in Gacchagya, but I just read this last verse of chapter 11. So it's quite interesting, so we'll just go over that one a little bit. Mat karma krim mat panama mat bhakta sangavarjita nir vairak sarva bhuteshu yaksa mam eti pandava. So that's Krishna speaking. My dear Arjuna, he who engages in my pure devotional service free from contamination of fruitive activities and mental speculation. He who works for me, who makes me the supreme goal of life, and who is friendly to every living being, certainly comes to me. So that these things you'll find in many places in the Bhagavad Gita. Here it's very, very clear, and the purport prophet said this is like an essential verse of Bhagavad Gita. Engages in my pure devotional service. That means without any motive for what will I get out of it, you know, but serving Krishna for the sake of Krishna's pleasure. But then, of course, automatically we get Krishna is grateful, is one of his qualities, so he always feels obliged. Whatever you do for Krishna, he wants to do something for you. If you do good for Krishna, if you do something wrong, Krishna doesn't get hangry and want to smash you or something. Ordinary people. But if you do something favorable to Krishna, then he becomes very concerned to reciprocate, to give you something. The gopis, for instance, the highest, they didn't want anything from Krishna, but the Krishna would give them something like 10,000 times more than they would give him as far as pleasure. Don't try to calculate that. Well, I'll come to the temple and I'll give, you know, 1 quid and then I'll go home and find in my mailbox, you know, 10,000. Might not work that way. Sometimes people come to Krishna and whatever they have, it gets taken away. If it's going to be a burden, if it's going to be a hindrance on their progress towards Krishna. Other people, they come and they have some business, or they suddenly get a better job, or their business flourishes, or things start to happen, because that will help them. It just depends on Krishna's in charge. So that means free from contamination of fruitive activities. Fruitive means wanting to enjoy the results. You know, I work and I get some fruit and I want that for myself. Fruitive activities. So that goes together. That's pure devotion. It's free from that contamination. One is working without attachment to the results. So you get the results, but you don't think this is all in all. I've got what I want now and I don't have to serve anymore. You know. Then, in mental speculation, that means trying to figure out on your own, like who is God, what is God, what is spiritual. You can't do that. Sometimes devotees are thinking like any kind of business you have to speculate, you know, many things in the mature world. So that's different. You have to think like, you know, what should I buy today and what should I sell or what price should I, you know. So it's speculating, but that's different. But speculating about the absolute truth, trying to invent some idea what is God, that's no good. Then it works for Krishna. That's what a devotee's thinking. Even he's going to the business or to the factory, but I'm doing this for Krishna. Because we chant Hare Krishna, we go home and we offer the food to Krishna, we take prasadam, read the Bhagavad Gita, so you know, everything we're doing is for Krishna. If you remember that, then it becomes joyful. Even in material world, when someone's working for their wife or their children, they feel much happier than if they're just working for themselves. They're much more inspired, right? You don't find too many bachelors that work and work and get really rich and just keep working harder and harder, right, to build themselves a bigger and bigger house, right? They save up a little money and quit. Live for a while, get another job, go, you know, take a vacation. Prabhupada said when the English first put the factories in India and they were interviewing people for the job, the first thing they'd ask them, were you married? And they wouldn't hire anybody that wasn't married. They wanted people that have debts, that have to stay there, you know, that have to work. Not people that can just save a little money and then leave, not worry about anything. That's intelligent and for them, but that's just a principle. So if you're working for Krishna, you'll feel much, much happier and much more inspired. And life will be very joyful. You can enjoy whatever you're doing. So and then who makes Krishna the supreme goal of his life. One guy yesterday, I was trying to show him a book. He was not very inspired. So I said, well, what is your goal in life? You know, and then he said, oh, to get home. I said, well, that's today. What about the rest of your life? I want to do that every day. I said, you want to just stay home all the time? You know, would you be happy? You get home and you never have to leave again? No, I get the pleasure is struggling to get back home. But like most people don't have a goal in life. If you ask people, what's your goal in life? It's just like completely bewildering. They're just too worried about today or tomorrow even. You know, or just getting their next meal. Many, many people, even, you know, educated people. But the life, human life, should have a goal, and it should be more than just some of the cemeteries in America, they advertise, plan your own funeral now. Don't trust your family. I saw it. One of the big, big cemetery places, very famous one. Because your family, they might give you the cheap funeral, you know. Take all the life insurance money for themselves, you know. Make sure you get the good one now, you know, the first class casket and, you know, the nice wagon and, you know. That's not a very exalted goal in life, you know. You're already gone. You're not going to be able to attend your own funeral. Huh? Isn't it? Maybe some people do. They can see it. And they're thinking, maybe I can get back and come back to life. There's a joke that they used to tell about three guys. And somebody asked them, like, what would you like when you're in the funeral home and people come, you know, what would you like to hear? And one was saying, oh, that he was a good family man, he took care of his children, he was always nice, and or he was a great businessman or something. And the third one said, I'd like to hear, he's still breathing. Can't get him out of there. The goal in life, you know, we have to. Everyone comes to the end of life, death. There's no such thing as someone. There's a few living entities on the planet that are called Chiranjiva, and they don't die, at least during the lifetime of this planet or something. You know, like Hanuman, he's still living, and Parashuram, a few others, Vyasadeva, you know. I think there's a few others. But that's not very common. And they're going to die also eventually. But they're ready for it. They're preparing for it at every moment. So we should be prepared for that. And life means to prepare for that. It's not morbid that you have to arrange your funeral and you have to make sure that you have doctors lined up and all that to try to save you. But that you should be practicing, you know, spiritual life, especially chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Then, you know, you're ready. Time of death comes, and everybody can be happy to leave this body. We've seen that. So I'll just summarize. This is a very long purport, but I recommend everybody to read Bhagavad Gita. If you read one verse and one purport every day, that will take you maximum 10 minutes, I think. Unless you really need a dictionary for every other word or something. But actually, the vocabulary of the Bhagavad Gita is very simple. Prabhupada's English is amazing, that a junior high school child can read it and find it very easy. And a college literature professor can read it and think it's really wonderful literature. That's not a common ability of a writer. Usually it's going to be one or the other. But this is because it's Krishna. And don't worry if you can't understand it according to what you've learned in school or physics class or science class or something, because it's different. It's spiritual. And Krishna says, Tesham Satyate Yuktanam Vajitam Priti Pub, I reveal it, I give it. The one who just keeps chanting and trying, he gives knowledge. So anyone who wants to approach the Supreme of all persons on the Krishna Loka planet in the spiritual sky and be intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Krishna must take this formula as stated by the Supreme Himself. So that is nice. And we all want to be with some wonderful person, right? Some kind of companion that's beautiful or rich or famous or, you know, all those things. But Krishna is all those things unlimitedly. And He's available for anyone. And He'll give Himself according to how much we want to give to Him. So that's the goal in Krishna. It's personal to be with Krishna in a beautiful, loving relationship. Therefore, this verse is considered to be the essence of the Bhagavad Gita. So you can remember this verse. It's chapter 11, text number 55. The essence of the Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is a book directed at conditioned souls who are engaged in the material world with the purpose of lording it over nature and who do not know of the real spiritual life. Bhagavad Gita is meant to show how one can understand his spiritual existence and his eternal relationship with the Supreme Spiritual Personality, and to teach one how to go back to Godhead, back to home. Now here is a verse which clearly explains the process by which one can attain success in his spiritual life. Alright? It's not a complicated thing. It's not easy because of our conditioning. But it is easy if we just try. If we just pray to Krishna, please let me, help me, help me, please Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Everybody likes that. Yesterday we had a very nice day and we went to Croydon, the big shopping, you know, place there, and many of the younger devotees were trying to distribute books. It was quite a challenge because of Lord Indra's participation. So it was very cold, it was raining and windy, and people were rushing like they always are, but much more. And the devotees were chanting very beautifully. Radha Vandanishwari was here, he was chanting so nicely, a few others. And many people were just stop and, you know, but if we tried to talk, no, I just want to hear that music. Oh, it sounds so nice. So that even they don't have any idea what it is, but they're appreciating Krishna. They're being attracted to Krishna. They're going to walk away and remember that. You know, that Hare Krishna is so nice. They'll be back. And that's why we try to have a lot of chanting here. You know, the temple every day, so many different chanting. Everybody can join in. Here we have chanting after the feast, and then the devotees come and chant here. You're all ready to stay. For a few hours, they chant very nicely. So no work should be done by any man except in relation to Krishna. Actually, nothing can be not in relation with Krishna, but we can think that it's separate from Krishna. And Krishna says that when someone thinks that something is separate from him, that's maya. That is illusion. Nothing can be separated from Krishna. He's the otam protam. You know, in a cloth, there's threads going two directions. Krishna is both of them. You know. And everything is held up by Krishna and created by Krishna. But we can forget Krishna and think we're independent of Krishna. And that will be unhappiness. One can engage in various activities, but one should not be attached to the result of his work. The result should be done only for Krishna. So that takes more study, but sometimes you think, well, what does that mean? And we want that things, when we do some work, we want it to be done nicely. When we cook, you know, we want it to come out nice, right? We can't say, well, yeah, I burned everything and I put too much salt, but that's all right because I'm not attached. You shouldn't be attached to the result. No. we want it to be nice, but we want for Krishna's pleasure. We don't want to think, oh, I'm such a great cook. We should think, by Krishna's mercy, I was able to do something decent, whatever it is, because actually we can't do anything without Krishna. One should not be attached to the result, but the result should be offered to Krishna. That means I shouldn't think this is mine and I'm going to keep it and I'm great and I'm getting richer and richer and I'm getting more famous. We offer everything to Krishna and recognize that Krishna gave it. But he doesn't take it away and run. We still have it. That's a special thing about Krishna. Just like whatever we cook here, we offer to Krishna. But everyone eats or not. No one is starving. And everybody realizes that prasadam is different. Many don't understand why, but they just know this Krishna food is different. Like I went on Friday, they go every day to that, what do they call it? SOAS campus up there. South Asian Studies. School of Africans. I don't know why they say Africa, because they have everything. They have all kinds of Asian.
Oriental studies.
Yeah. Anyway, they have. So the devotees go there every day and they feed about 300 or some students. And they love it, but they recognize this is different. Besides the fact that it's free, they like it. They feel happy to eat it, knowing that it's something different. So that's Krishna. Whatever you offer to Krishna will just get better and you'll still have it. So that's the nice thing about offering everything to Krishna. If you offer it to me, I might take it and it's gone. But Krishna is not like that. The word parama refers to one who considers the association of Krishna in his supreme abode to be the highest perfection of life. He does not wish to be elevated to other higher planets like the moon or the sun or heavenly planets or even the highest planet in the universe, Brahmaloka. He doesn't want that. He only wants to be transferred to the spiritual world to be with Krishna. With the supreme, most beautiful person, most kind person, most intelligent. Everything about Krishna is the best. I was on an airplane the other day and I could see a lot of clouds. I was remembering when I was young, they used to show the picture of the heaven somehow or other, and a Christian. It's just an angel sitting on a cloud with a harp. You ever seen that? I don't ever remember wanting to do that. It didn't inspire me to want to be pious or, give up intoxication or anything, so that I could do that. And then all alone, sitting there on a cloud, cold, lonely. But the real spiritual world is full of life and full of people and full of more colors and more sounds and more varieties of everything. Here we have so many varieties of colors. Even I saw a little girl come down, she had this big thing full of color pencils, everyone's a different color. And that's just a small sample. Actually you're only mixing three colors, and even so the three modes of nature are mixing here and we're making unlimited varieties of things. But the spiritual is much more, much better, and much nicer. And the vision is much better. The hearing is much better. But there's only nice things to see, only nice things to hear. There's no sirens and, fireworks and construction sounds and all that. Only beautiful sounds. Kirtans and birds singing and bees humming and, all those nice things. So that's what we want to strive for. And Krishna makes it easy. And Kali Yuga, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So Krishna's inviting everyone. So Krishna is the source of everything. It's the sum of it all. Krishna is two Bhagavan Swayam. There's so many incarnations, there's so many different things, there's so many planets that everything is coming from Krishna. So connect with Krishna, you get everything. So I'm glad, we're so happy to see everybody here. And I ask for your blessings that I can, think of Krishna once in a while at least, and keep on the Association of Devotees. It's a special privilege to be able to come to the temple. Krishna's in everyone's heart, and anyone who comes here we know is brought by Krishna personally. So look around you and feel very fortunate to be in the association of such people. Offer your introduction or your services or whatever, and let this family grow bigger and bigger and bigger so that, you know, everyone can be relieved of all the madness that they're, you know, being promoted out there. Right? Kali is called Kali Yuga. He's fomenting quarrel everywhere by getting people more intoxicated, more gambling, more, you know, all those things which make people miserable. Make them fight more and greedy more and everything. Yes. Whoever you meet, find some way to, you know, share Krishna with, somehow, with as many people as possible. So, we have any questions or comments? Thank you again very much, Keith. Any question? Okay. Irene?
You said you talked about humility at one sometime.
Yeah.
And my question is on humility. I was thinking about the different layers, the coverings, and the false ego is the last layer. And we know that each layer is 10 times more difficult and tougher to penetrate than the last. And so I personally find the false ego so tricky. And I know from Shastra that I'm very tiny, insignificant, but I want to ask, can you say something encouraging to me, or that how I can, I'm in such a battle with my false ego, so it's tricking me to think I'm something above my state.
You can't defeat.
Can you encourage me?
You can't do anything. Only Krishna can. Krishna can do it. You just have to ask Krishna. You have to beg Krishna, please. You do it. Yeah, because we can't fight against the material nature. Right? The material nature is, Krishna says, Mama Maya Duratyaya. What is it? Maya Metam Turan. This Maya, the material energy, is very difficult to overcome. But Mameva ye prapadyante mayame tam tarante. If one surrenders to me, then it's very easy. Because Krishna tells the majority, okay, leave her alone now. Help her to come towards me. So I just heard somebody ask Prabhupada, what is humility? Because we hear that a lot. It's hard to know what is humility in this day and age. People think, you know, you don't want to be humble, you're great, you know. Because if you say, oh, I'm lowly, oh, you shouldn't think like that. They don't know what humble is. But Prabhupada said, when you know that you have absolutely nothing that can save you, not your beauty, not your money, not your intelligence, not your fame, not anything, only Krishna. When you know that there's nothing but Krishna that you can take shelter of, that's humility. And we learn that by continually trying to fight, you know, and getting knocked out again and again and again.
Yeah.
Finally we think, well, maybe, you know, I can't do it myself. I've got to ask Krishna for help. So when we can come to that, just begging Krishna like a child begs his father for something, you know, and he doesn't know anything else, he doesn't know anyone else to ask except the father or the mother for whatever he wants, and he screams and cries like that for when we're chanting for Krishna, then we'll be successful. What do you have there? Wow.
I'm going to do a ceremony.
Okay, so time for the ceremony?
Yeah.
Right now?
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you all very much. Do we have upstairs?
Yeah.
Who's me? Me or
something? If you like, Raj.
Question and answer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we do that upstairs in the amazingly beautiful seminar room that maybe many of you helped in some way or another to finance. It's a really nice and good facility that is being utilized a lot for different programs. So you're all welcome. But first, take prasadam. Feel, satisfy yourself to your full satisfaction. And take a look at the shop for no other reason than to see the stained glass window that was just installed a few days ago on the, as you go up the stairs, Radha and Krishna. Of course, it, I don't know if they have a light behind it now, but still you can see how nice it
is. Yeah.
In the daytime, it's really amazing. It's very beautiful. And so at least go up a little bit to have a look at it. But go up to the shop, look around. There's a lot of nice books there and CDs and Krishna jewelry and stuff. Okay, so thank you all very much. Radha Lalanishwara has some kind of a ceremony here for everybody. In Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Shri Radha London Ishwara Bhakta Vrinda ki, Gaur Premanandi Hari.
Hare Krishna Ravichandra Maharaj ki.